There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello listeners, and welcome to the wrap-up of Pick'em Comp for this year. Due to many annoying life issues getting in the way, we are actually recording 6 days after the grand final. And with today being the first day of free agency, we've already seen five players get a new home. With the grand final being such a distant memory, I have Archie here to help try and remember what actually happened. Welcome again, Arch.
Thanks, Zana. Good to be back. And is there any truth to the rumour that it's not the length of time between now and the grand final that you need help remembering for? It's the amount of beers that you had on grand final day.
Of course it is, mate. That's always the problem. I don't remember a lot of the grand final, is always the case. But and the worst part was, because it was so late, I was so much drunker, you know?
Yeah, well, that's it. We had all day to get started, didn't we?
Exactly. So it made a bit of a mess of things later on. But no, it was all good. It was... Oh, look, it seriously was a distant memory. Like, I'm even trying to think back now with everything that's gone on in the last 4 or 5 days with trade, and trade radio started up, and, you know, we've had the free agency period start today. It's just, like, I can't even fathom the grand final right now, you know? It's just moving so quick.
So now, I get the impression with the media that they'd prefer just to skip the final series altogether and go straight from the regular season into the trade period and free agency period. That seems to be what's dominating the media coverage. We haven't seen too much of, you know, Richmond's premiership glory or anything like that. Not that they can have a grand final parade or anything at the moment, but the only sort of Richmond content we're getting is directly from the club media sources themselves. Everything else moved straight on from the grand final to trade week.
It sure did. I mean, we've seen a few pictures of Jack Riewoldt and Lynch driving around on a golf course, you know, drinking out of the Premiership Cup, and a few photos of Dusty looking a little bit red-eyed. But there's been no reports this year that it's 2 weeks later and Dusty's castle at the MCG or anything like that. So of course, we're 4 weeks later than normal with the grand final, so you sort of have to move on, because, you know, the most important topic's the situation that we're in right now. So it is, but hey, look, Richmond might like that as well. A lot of the guys probably like flying under the radar and no one knowing what's going on there. All right, Arch, so let's quickly look at the result from the grand final. We do know that Richmond won 81-50 over Geelong. Richmond were leading 7-4 to 7-8 at three-quarter time, and then just, in fact, they were down by about 2.5 goals, if I remember rightly, at halftime, and that third and fourth quarter just completely blitzed. Geelong, the pressure came, and Geelong cracked, and it was all over. So, wasn't too much of a spectacle after that halftime siren, I'm afraid.
Zano, speaking of spectacle, what was your thoughts on the night grand final? We mentioned before that, you know, that we're obviously quite a bit later over here, or a bit earlier, I should say, over here. So we got started, the grand final started about 4:30 our time, managed to get a feed at half time. So it didn't work out quite too bad. Mm. But I imagine for people, especially you and I have both got young kids, if you're over east and it doesn't start till 7:30 and finishes at 10:30, that's got to be rough on the 8, 9, 10-year-olds that are wanting to watch the grand final.
Absolutely. Look, normally, if it wasn't this late, of course, you get an hour up your sleeve there as well, but it's still 9:30 because daylight saving kicked in, of course, during that week. It is strange. I find it might be a little bit hard to really judge. For me, the grand final isn't just the game. It's the whole day. I enjoy sitting down, and to be honest, it's 9 o'clock WA time, and I'm tending to sit down with a beer and start to slowly get into the day by then. And, you know, it's a spectacle. You get to watch the parade, or you've got the breakfast more so. Then you've got, you know, the retired players going around the oval and all that sort of stuff that happens throughout the day. You've got the big kick or the kick and all those sorts of things, which really didn't get a lot of, or didn't really happen this year because of obvious reasons. So I find it hard to really judge whether I like the grand final night or not, because to me, it was, I really didn't enjoy the day as much as normal. But thinking about it, it's probably because all those peripheral things weren't available to be done. So I find it hard to judge whether it's because of those or because it was late in the afternoon. I'm not sure about it.
Yeah, look, I wasn't a fan myself, I've got to be honest. I much prefer our lunchtime gatherings. I know it's, you know, afternoon over East, but it's normally about 12 o'clock. We get to your joint, have a feed, and then watch the footy. It did seem, looking at the response on Twitter, it was largely a negative response. But as you say, Sano, it's a little bit hard to judge because it was in Brisbane. It's an hour later than what it would normally be. All that sort of stuff that you raised is all very good points.
Yeah.
My concern is that the AFL are going to raise those exact points and use it as another excuse to do it again next year. Add in the fact that the ratings were so high.
Through the roof, yeah.
And, you know, nothing to do with the fact that no one in Melbourne could leave their bloody homes, or, you know, they've probably got another 100,000 eyes that would normally be at the MCG on grand final day watching on the telly. Of course the bloody ratings are going to be higher.
Well, that's right. Like, that's a bit of smoke and mirrors, isn't it? You can make the numbers do anything that you want. When you've got to sit in your own home with you and one other person, instead of having a group of, you know, 20 years together, you're getting, as you said, 10 times more eyes on the, you know, 10 times more streams. So clearly there's going to be a lot more viewers, you know.
And speaking of smoke and mirrors, Zeno, nice little segue. I doubt it was intentional, but well done. The smoke. So the big thing about the night grand final was they could set off all these fireworks and have all these pyrotechnic displays and all that sort of stuff. But that's all well and good. But I couldn't see what was going on the bloody ground. The smoke was just, you know, until they got the cameras right up close to the stage, I imagine the crowd at the game, they may have actually struggled to see what was going on because of all the smoke that was hanging around.
Yeah, a bit of bad planning, of course, there. Yeah, look, as I said, it's hard to judge because, look, I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the day as a whole, as it was.
Yep.
But as I keep saying, it's very hard to know whether that's because it was so different to what it could have been or because it was late, you know? I don't know.
All right, Zano, so on to the game itself. Now, obviously injuries don't matter too much at this time of the season, but
no.
Geez, I tell you what, wasn't a cracking first quarter.
Oh.
People were dropping down. We had Ablett and Vlosten go down within the space of about 3.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Vlosten obviously made the mistake of headbutting Patrick Dangerfield's elbow, which everyone knows he is not on, so he was out for the game. And then we thought, well, maybe Ablett being out cancelled that out. He, what did it end up being, Zana? Was it a dislocation?
No.
I did hear dislocation, and I did hear it was broken.
No, he had a broken shoulder, so he played through that in the end.
Yeah, what an absolute beast.
Broke his shoulder.
Especially if he's held firm with his previous beliefs where he doesn't like to take painkillers and that sort of stuff.
Might well have
he
been
was
the case.
In obvious pain throughout the whole game and just battled on. So,
but just a quick
once
note
again,
to the,
showing the bloke is just an out and out champion.
To the little master as well is look. I think the play of the day was, of course, Dusty's last goal. That was just mesmerising. But I reckon the next two plays of the day both involved Ablett himself. That little handball to had to be the second best player of the day. That quick little handball to Selwood, who then managed to hit Hawkins' absolute lace out, who went back, if I remember rightly, slotted it. So, even though he was in so much pain, he still managed to have an impact on the game as well, which was mind-boggling.
Yeah, we also had Simpson get KO'd by his own teammate. I can't remember who it was at this point. It was that long ago.
Yeah.
But that was right at the end of the game, so that didn't have too much influence there. Parfitt was also hurt during the but played on. And Hooley Zeno did a calf very early in the game, but just after Vlosten had gone off. And Dimmer basically, look, for want of better words, told him to suck it up and get back out there and keep playing. And
just
he did.
Do what you can for us. We were quite upset with him because we had him in a lot of bets and he copped a little bit of abuse from us, but then we sort of understood why later on. So
yeah, there was a few multis, 15-plus disposals that went out the window because of that one.
Sure did. So, all right, Art, so from a fantasy point of view, or a picking point of view, let's have a look at the top scorers for the round. So the defenders were Jaden Short with a 102, which was really handy.
Now,
Hooley
Zana,
going down.
Is it Jaden Short or is it Nathan Broad?
Nathan, well. Yeah, fair enough. It's obviously Jaden Short, but that's all right. And look, obviously Hooley going down benefited him there, so that helped him out for sure. Tom Stewart had an 87, who was on track for about a 220 in the first quarter and early on. He was just everywhere and sort of stopped dead in the last half. Edwards had a 75, and then a couple of honourable mentions, of course. Bashir Hooley had his 35, which we now understand for why. And, of course, Vlastun with his 10, who went off very early on. A fair few people had those guys. But the big shock was, well, it's not really a shock. The big one that hurt a lot of people was Henderson, who had 17 after coming off, you know, two or three really good scores. And he didn't go off hurt, Arch. He was just crap.
No, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
So a lot of people... Look, there were quite a few teams out there in Pickham had Henderson, Hooley and Vlastun. So
yes.
that was just a killer straight away.
All right, into the midfield zone. We had the top scorer for the game, Mitch Duncan. He was, if Geelong had a one, he was hands down Norm Smith, I reckon.
Yep.
He finished on 112. He was actually on 100 at three-quarter time, but like most of his teammates, just went missing in the last quarter.
Yep.
with that one. Selwood on 88, Cochin 72, Guthrie 71. So apart from Duncan, there wasn't too much big scoring in the midfield, which, look, we do tend to find that in grand finals a little bit. At the other end of the scale, people that let us down, Dangerfield, 53, decided to play forward and still baffles me there.
Oh, yeah.
Menegola, look, 63, you're not unhappy with it, but you're definitely not happy with it, that's for sure. And same with Prestia on 59. Prestia was pretty highly selected, simply because not a lot of people had picked him before.
And there wasn't much left. That's
so,
right.
Yeah, no, I guess you could say there was no out-and-out disasters, but apart from Duncan, there was no fantastic scores either.
No, I reckon he's probably... there was only about four or five goals, other than Short, who did all right as well for you down back. There wasn't anybody that really would have been highly, highly owned that... Because I think most people had used Stewart at that stage. A few had Selwood left, but Stewart was well and truly off the board by pretty much everybody. So, yeah, Duncan was off the board by most guys. So, really, it was Short and Selwood were the only two.
Yeah.
All right, now to the Rucks, Arch. Surprisingly, Stanley had an 82 in the Geelong team.
Yeah.
So, quite happy with that. And then, of course, Nankervis, highly selected, had a 64. And, look, this wasn't the worst thing. No one ended up having to select him, which was nice to start off with. But the only other ruckman of the day was Bolter with a 47. So,
Zana, if I had said to you at the start of the day who would score more out of Stanley and Nank, you're taking Nank every day of the week, aren't you?
Probably. Look, I would have thought they'd be fairly close. I thought they'd be closer than that, that's for sure, though. I mean, Nank had a great game the week before, which a lot of us loopholed, but he doesn't tend to be consistent like that, so he was due for a lower one. But I would have said they'd been pretty close, but yeah, definitely happy with the Stanley side of things.
All right, and moving up forward, there is no surprise as to who the top scoring forward was. It was the Norm Smith medalist in Dustin Martin, finished on 98. He seemed like he was everywhere, but when I was looking at the stat zone, I think he had four disposals in the last quarter. It just so happens that two of them were absolutely outstanding goals.
Yeah, yep. And that's what he can do, isn't it? It's just, he just turns a game on its head when he needs to.
Yep. So he finished on 98. Shea Bolton, you'd have to be happy with on 81. Myers as well, you'd be happy with grabbing his 70.
Yep.
Then we had Lambert on 66. At the other end of the scale, Hawkins had a very quiet game. I think he kicked one, maybe two.
Yeah.
He certainly had a few shots, but didn't convert when he needed to. He finished on 53. Parfitt, we now know, was injured. He finished on 50. Good-looking Tom Lynch was barely sighted, did kick a goal. But was barely sighted throughout the game. He finished on 45. Gaz, we know, basically played with one arm, finished on 35. Give him two arms, you can basically double that, I reckon.
Yep.
And our got to have a Rioli to win a premiership, Zano, wouldn't have done you any good this time because he finished on 29 if you played him on the field, which from memory, I don't think anybody did.
No, I don't think anybody did either. So, but he was still on the premiership side, so your theory still runs true, Arch.
That's it.
Now, having a quick look at the captain selections. So, the highest selected captain was Danger, with 9 coaches with his 53. Cam Guthrie had 6 guys with his 71. You're probably not unhappy with Cam Guthrie, but you're definitely not stoked with Danger. Mitch Duncan had 3 guys with his 112. Prestia had 2 with his 59. Selwood had 2 with his 88. Cochin had 1 with his 72. Dusty had 1 with his 98. And Nank had 1 with his 64.
So a nice little smattering there,
yeah,
Zano.
Big smattering across the board. Like obviously, Danger and Guthrie are the 2 obvious ones. And after that, yep. it was just... Obviously, if you didn't have either of those 2 goes, you went someone else.
Yep. And we mentioned before about the rucks, Zano. So you had a choice effectively of 2, Nankervis or Stanley. We had 68% of the teams select Nankervis,
yep.
And 32% of the teams go with Stanley there. Now, I reckon the vast majority of those would have actually had the option of one of either one. There
yep.
wouldn't have been too many that just had to choose one. So,
no.
Yeah, it turns out most of the team got it wrong, including yeah. yours truly.
Yeah, I had the Stanley thing because I looked Nankervis the week before and couldn't use him, so I had no choice.
Yep.
And I reckon out of those 8 coaches that had Stanley, probably 7 of them looped Nankervis the week before. So
yeah, that's exactly right.
That's why it was sort of hands tied, but worked out, at least on the ruck side of it, worked out well.
So what does this all mean, Zano? Let's have a look at the top scorers for the round for Fantasy Finals Pick'em. So top scorer Dave from Swanabees, he had an epic game. He finished on 893. To give you a bit of an idea, the average for the round was 736. So he's gone 150 over the average score.
Yep.
Nathan from Obermullet scored 846. Yours truly finished on 828.
Yeah.
And good old Baked Beams, our good mate from Twitter, he ended up on 818. So the 736 average that I mentioned before, easily, Zano, easily the lowest average for the finals. So
yep.
week 1 was 821. Week 2 was our big week. That was 863. And week 3, so prelim final week, was 820. So
yep.
nearly 90 points down on the next lowest average.
And, you know, I reckon we saw the same thing last year as well, Arch. I reckon the grand final was much, much lower than the other weeks as an average. So something to keep in mind for next year.
Yeah. Obviously, like I do have last year's Pick'em spreadsheet up, Zano. I did
yep.
Did think about that. And it's a bit hard to tell, to be honest, because of COVID ball. But just looking at it, give me 2 seconds and I'll get you the average. It's going to be in the 900s there.
Yep.
Now, high 800s, low 900s there.
Yeah.
But that's, again, largely because of the extra time that we had there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's hard to tell, but I do remember.
Yeah,
I think
897 was the average last week, last year.
Last year,
I should say.
So yeah, it's not far off that. It's probably a bit low because we normally aim for about 1,000 most weeks.
That's right.
So,
and to give you an idea, prelim final that same year in 2019 was 1,089.
Yeah.
So again, 90 points down
yep.
on the week before.
Yeah, I reckon that we noticed the grand final for the last 3 or 4 years, to be honest, without taking the notes detailed, has been lower. So something to keep in mind, which does make a bit of sense, I guess, because it's such a tighter sure. game.
And
now,
everyone's used their good players.
Well, there's that as well, isn't there? Yeah, and especially if teams get through that you weren't predicting, you're really scraping the barrel at times. So it's tough. All right, Arch, now we're going to go to the top overall scorers. So,
yes.
drum roll, of course, but in third place, we've got James from Jackers Quackers. He had a total score of 3,463. In second place, for the second year in a row, was Dottie.
We got this wrong. Sorry to interrupt, mate.
Oh,
we got
okay.
this wrong. I went back and had a look. It was actually Ando last year that came
oh,
runner-up.
Was it Ando?
Not
sorry,
Dottie.
I thought it was Dottie.
Yeah,
my
so
bad.
Friend of the pod. We're getting friends of the pods mixed
yep.
up. So
sorry,
yeah,
Ando.
Apologies to Ando there for that tweet.
No worries. Okay, so Dottie's for the first time been on the podium. So he's in second spot with Gorn Fritschen with 3,511. And it painfully... makes very painfully have to announce who won, which is, of course, yourself, Arch, from Psycho Oracle with a 3,524. So 13 points ahead of Dottie in second. So
yeah, look, I'd just like to thank my mum and my dad. Most of all, I'd like to thank, you know, the the fans that have helped me throughout the season. They really kept me going, and it's great to be able to hold the Premiership Cup above my head.
I will also put a disclaimer in there, listeners, that I have checked these scores about 25 times, and unfortunately I cannot find a way to change it. So, well done, Arch. It doesn't bode well that the last 2 years you've won it and I've won it. That doesn't look good for the competition. But, yes, rest assured, everybody, that this stuff isn't... As I think you said last week, Arch, we hate it when the other one wins. So we try to find as many little mistakes as possible. And, yeah.
So we also did make a bit of a rule on the back of this, Zeno.
Yeah.
OTLS... staff members, let's call us, can't win. So officially the winner is Dottie. So hats off to Dottie for winning it in 2020.
Yep. And even though I beat Ando last year, of course, he won it as well. So, but we don't like to remind him of those sorts of things either.
Yep. And Dottie, if you're listening, mate, send me your bloody address so I can send you your car.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so what we'll do now is... Oh, so the last thing there quickly as well, Archie. So we mentioned those scores. Yourself, the winning score on 3-5-2-4. The overall average score was 3-2-5-1. So you've managed a solid 170, 180 points up on there. So it's definitely a decent effort. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it was good fun. And, strategy-wise, Zeno, I was thinking a bit about it. This is one of the years where I actually took a conservative option.
Mm.
Like, I took a couple of players from this team, a couple of players from that team. I think each week I picked at least one or two players from teams that progressed.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the perfect pick 'em, but it just goes to show, it was that second week that was key, to be honest, with those big scores. That was what really got me, because I think I was in about halfway after week one, but jumped up to about fifth or sixth in week two. So it's picking that week, and I think week two is the week you can really move up, because that's the week that you have the losers of the qualifying finals playing the winners of the elimination finals.
Yeah.
So there's normally a fair bit of talent differential between the two.
Yeah.
And if you can see, that's the thing, you load up on those guys that may progress, but have a fair chance of having a decent score that week. I think that's what made the difference this year.
Absolutely. And that's sometimes the luck of the draw, that you get the players like Geelong against Brisbane when they carved them a new one, you know?
Yep.
Whereas the next 2 weeks or next week, they weren't anywhere near as good. So even if you tipped Geelong to get through over Brisbane, it probably hurt you in the end rather than benefiting you by missing out on those scores. So it's all about the timing. There's no doubt about that. All right, Arch, so it's back, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we're going to have a chat about our good, bad, and ugly for Pick'em this week. Now, you're going to come up first with your good.
Yeah, so I'm going to give it to Mitch Duncan, Zeno, and I think if we had a medal for the Pick'em player of the finals, it's got to go to him.
Easily.
We might have to do that and come up with a decent name. We could even call it the Mitch Duncan medal moving forward.
Yep.
We'll have to see. We'll have a staff meeting over a few brewskis and see what comes
Absolutely.
Out of that. So he scored 98 in their qualifying final, 123 in the semi-final, which, Corona ball, that's what, probably a 150, which is pretty epic. 85 in the semi-final and a lazy 112 top scoring in the grand final. So he easily gets it for me. How about you?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to give it to Mitch Duncan as well, Arch. Now, that might be a bit of a cop-out, but I'm looking at more one individual performance of the final series. So, and it is probably the standout game of all the finals games that are out there, at least from a fantasy point of view. So it was the Cats versus Pies semi-final. Now, this is his Corona ball scoring, right? Now, you mentioned his score a second ago, but he had 18 kicks, 12 handballs, so that's 30 possessions, 12 marks, 2 tackles and a behind for 123 fantasy points. That's 154 non-COVID. So
there you go. Just goes to show I should read the run sheet, Zeno. You've already done the hard work for me there.
Yeah, so yeah, I think I did it after yours anyway. But yeah, so even though he definitely gets it for the finals, I think that one game, individual game, where a lot of players had him and a few guys even had him as captain, really stood out from a picking point of view without any doubt whatsoever. Okay, Arch, on to your bad.
My bad. So I think I'm going to have to give this, Zana, and we've talked about this many a time this year. I'm going to give it to the combination of Patrick Dangerfield and Chris Scott. Now, when the game was there to be won, which was the late in the third and the fourth quarter, obviously, there was apparently a phone call between the two of them where between them they decided that it was best for Dangerfield to play forward. Once again, Zano, they left the Ferrari in the garage again. And even when it's in the garage, it wasn't firing all that well because he had a couple of shots on goal and missed them horrendously. He scored 19 points or 19 fantasy points after half time. And if you're keeping track, Zano, that's four possessions.
Four possessions
for the Ferrari after half time.
And just quietly, that play of the day and what probably could have almost been goal of the year, in honesty, that Dusty kicked was actually a missed tackle by Dangerfield as well.
Yeah.
So he was off his game, and that's what happens when you put somebody in a full forward out of the square and the ball's not going down there, you know. I'm with you. I don't get the Chris Scott thing. What's going to happen seeing that it looks like Geelong are going to get half the competition to their club this year and where he plays next year is who knows. But, as soon as the momentum started swinging, he should have been running that midfield. I don't get it. So give me a coach's role. I would have done better than that.
Yeah, the good news for fantasy coaches is I reckon there's a fair chance he gets DPP in 2021.
I reckon it's almost a certainty to start off with DPP, to be honest.
You're bad, Zaino.
So my bad has to go out to Dion Prestia, Arch, the meatball himself. Mm. Now, this year throughout the final series, he averaged 58, okay? Non-COVID is 73. In 2019, I went back and had a look because I remember him being pretty good. He averaged 107. Yeah. So he averaged 34 points less this year throughout finals than he did last year. So I know he's coming back from an injury, but that's just a huge drop-off, isn't it? It's about 20, 30. It's about 40% almost drop away, 30-odd percent drop away. So, that's a huge, huge drop-off, and he was really poor. Even though Richmond obviously got the job done week in, week out, but, he was... He was average. There's no doubt about that. So he gets my bad. Now, Arch, we're having a look at your ugly.
Yeah, Zano, we mentioned it before right up the top when we were going through the scores. But, look, I've got to give it to Lockie Henderson's grand final game. So in the lead-in, he scored 74 in the qualifying final versus Port, 93 against Collingwood in the semi, and 71 in the prelim final against Brisbane. So he's in pretty good form, you would think. Yep. Then he comes out and scores 17 in the frickin' grand final. 17, Zano. I could score 17. Well, probably not. But you get my point. It was probably the biggest drop-off from the previous 3 weeks' average down to what they scored in the grand final. And what's worse is that 48% of coaches actually picked him in the grand final. So at least you weren't alone if you got his 17.
No, a lot of guys did. A lot of guys got hurt in their back line that last round. They got decimated with a few guys, as I said. There was quite a few teams who had at least two, if not three, of Hooley, Henderson, and Vlastuin. So it was not much you could do about it.
There was only one coach that had all three from memory, which really hurt.
Yeah, and what can you do about it? Nothing.
All right, Zano, you're ugly.
So I'm going to go to an incident in the game, Arch, which was Dangerfield's bump or elbow on Vlastuin early on. Now, the reason that it's here is because the actual incident itself looked so ugly, at the time. But I just wanted to point out that just because something looks ugly doesn't mean somebody's done anything wrong, or at least deliberately wrong. So, it was a really ugly incident for Vlastuin. He was not looking well. He obviously left the ground and didn't play on. But, sometimes uncontrollable things happen, and I don't think Danger was in any strife for that either, by the way. I think, more than anything, glad that Vlastuin's okay. And I'm pretty sure the premiership medal around his neck would have eased the pain a fair bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw, obviously, this week that Dangerfield didn't have anything to answer at the tribunal. And, look, whilst it wasn't a great look in the game, 100%, there was literally... Dangerfield didn't do anything wrong.
No.
He literally punched the ball away, and while his elbow was extended, he tried to bring it back in to brace for impact, which is well within his rights to do. It was just super bad luck, and I feel for Vlastuin, but there's nothing Dangerfield could do, and I've got no issues with him. I have a lot of issues with the match review officer and the tribunal and that sort of stuff this year, as you've heard us bitch about throughout the year, but nothing. I've got no issues with that one.
Yeah, look, and that's the point is, like, things happen, you know, on a footy. It's an impact sport with 36 blokes at any one time running around trying to get one little tiny, you know, 30 centimetre by 20 centimetre piece of leather. So things are going to happen. And, yeah, I was glad he got off because I didn't think there was it was an ugly incident, but I didn't think there was anything he had to answer for, put it that way.
Yep, that's it. All right, Zano, before you wrap up, I do just want to go through and just give a bit of a wrap on the season. So first off, I wanted to say thank you to everyone that played.
Absolutely.
We had a little bit more, a few more entries than what we did last year. So we're growing year on year, which is awesome. But what I did like is that we had a lot more coaches hang on through the end of the season. So a lot more people play through all 4 weeks, which was fantastic. We know there's issues there with being able to see your team and the way that they're entered in. But let's face it, we just don't have the budget or the know-how to do a website. Maybe we could call FanHub and get them to completely stuff a website up for us. But I do appreciate everyone's patience with how it's been run this year. And Zana, especially to yourself, who helped me out with a lot of the data entry and things this year. Yep. It's very much appreciated. We will be back in 2021, hopefully in September this time.
Yes.
And hopefully with 20-minute quarters. But it was really fun, and obviously it's nice to come out on, I'll say I'll come out with the highest score. I won't say that I won. That honour obviously goes to Dotty. But yeah, thanks to everyone for playing. It was great fun once again. Looking forward to having everyone back in 2021.
Absolutely. And as I said earlier in these podcasts, anybody that knows a programmer that can, crack straight into the master data or champion data service for us, so we don't have to do this stuff manually, it would be lovely. We don't mind if we don't mind charity work. There's no problems with that. In fact, we might even pay with some beers. So, we'd appreciate that. But thanks again, Arch, for also doing the bulk of the work on that. I'll definitely enjoy the back end stuff, but you of course make sure that everybody's aware every week of what players they've got, where to go to submit their teams, and make sure that it runs smoothly. So it's a job well done. But look, thanks again, listeners, for tuning in this week. Now, as always, you can get me at Otilius Zano and stuff on overthelinesports.com.au. Brought to you by Check My House Price. We haven't got much going on at the moment, Arch, but only a couple of days ago, Big Bash started up. So definitely a few things in the pipeline there once we get some of the final of the pick 'em stuff out of the way. And keep an eye out for the information there.
And you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter, as always. Still happy to have a chat about pick'em or footy or basketball or cricket or whatever. Hit me up. Always happy to have a chat. And as we mentioned every week, Zano, it has been a tough period. Hopefully we're coming out of it. Victoria started to ease up a little bit there with their restrictions and being able to get out of the house. WA is now lifting some border restrictions. So we're hoping to get back to some sort of normality. If you are please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14 and subscribe and hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. We will be having a lot of content coming up through the off season. We have our world famous preview review, Zana, where I boot you out of the host chair and actually get to host for once or twice a year. I get to do it. So we're planning on doing that in the next week or so, where we see how poor we went with our over-under podcast back in the year. So we'll be doing that. As you mentioned before, we've got a heap of BBL stuff coming up and some trade week recap and that. So just because the AFL season's finished doesn't mean that the madness at OTLS stops.
Absolutely. We're definitely looking forward to the trade recap this year because we're sort of talking about it. The grand final is a distant memory because we went straight from that 2 days of celebration and straight into trade time, basically. So it's been insane. So, thanks again, everybody. I appreciate everybody for playing Pick'em, and you'll hear from us the next week or two again for sure.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.